I heard you're on with Wendy. I'm glad you got her toilet paper situation straightened out.
That's always good radio, isn't it, Lisa?
Hey, one of the first texts to come through, well, Wendy was on the air, asked Lou if I should close the heating vent in the basement during winter. I don't know why you'd do that, because you want your basement warm, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that what I want people to understand about how a forced air system works is, you know, it is designed with all of these vents, the return airs and the supplies, to work kind of in concert with it. So I never really want you to shut things off 100%, because that can actually cause an imbalance in the system. Now, you know, in the winter months, if you shut down the basement 50%, it will be a little cooler down there, but it'll force more heat on the first floor or second floor. So if you're going to do it for whatever reason, no more than 50%.
Okay. I always thought I keep the heat on in the basement. Of course, basement is part of our living space, but I always thought that it would, if it was fairly decent in the basement, it would help keep the upper floor warm.
Well, you know, so typically there is not a cold air return in a basement by rule, but that isn't the case. Some people do have that because you don't want to draw that air in to the system to circulate through. So you are right. I mean, the physics is that the heat down below and it rises. And so especially if it's a living space, that's a different story. There probably is a cold air return. And so the way a furnace works is that it's constantly moving that air, and as it goes through the furnace, it heats it. So it takes longer, and if you keep everything open, the space should be more tempered and a more consistent temperature throughout the home.
Here's another quick question for Lou. We have a very small hairline crack in our corian. What's the best way to seal it?
Well, with a corian top, the benefit is if it's just a hairline, it's probably right at the surface. The material you see in corian or any kind of solid surface is all the way through. So it can be sanded out depending on the depth of that. But keep in mind, if you're going to do that, you can probably watch a couple YouTube videos. Make sure that you're sanding a larger area to blend it all in. If you just concentrate on where the cut is, you can create a little dip in the countertop, and that'll drive you crazy.
Somebody said, will you please ask Lou if there's anything to do with frozen over, and what can you do with frozen over gutters? I experienced that the other night. I got up on a ladder, and I'm like, I need that flamethrower we gave in the white Christmas elephant exchange. He's like, no, you don't. I'm glad that we gave it away. But boy, it's frustrating. It's nerve-wracking when you have a big ice dam and you can't break it up.
I noticed a lot of homes, you know, the way that the snow came and the cold weather came, this is more of a function of Mother Nature than it is of anything going on with your home. So there's a lot of homes that have this. Now, if they're gigantic, you may want to have someone come and see if you can knock some of those down. But it's very dangerous. You have to be very careful. That added weight can pull a gutter down. If you cannot find any of those roof melt pucks, which are calcium chloride kind of hockey puck size discs that you can throw up onto the roof, I've given this advice where you buy knee-high pantyhose, fill that with calcium chloride, and then now you've got like this salami of calcium chloride that you can lay on the roof or the gutter to help dissolve it. With this really cold weather coming, it could be advantageous to do that.
Interesting. Hey, Lou, I have a question concerning a boiler which heats my house. I had a new Carrier boiler installed in 2020. I used to drain my old boiler once a month. On the new boiler, I was told draining once a month would be good. Then on my next preheating session checkup or season checkup, I was told that on this boiler, I should not drain it at all. Now, this year, the technician doing my preheating season checkup told me I should drain it every week. Who's right? I've been told three different things.
Well, if we're talking about a residential closed-loop system boiler, it does not need to be drained and shouldn't be drained. When you get a preseason checkup, they can drain a little bit of it just to make sure that there's no sediment in the water. But as a rule of thumb, closed-loop residential hot water boilers, again, this is what I'm describing, do not need to be drained.
Can you ask Lou about a product that would kill mold on a plywood floor? The spot is about 18 by 18. A small man cave refrigerator froze up and leaked water on the plywood floors.
It's a great product called Concrobium Mold Control. It is completely safe to use inside. It has no odor. It quite possibly could actually clean the stain as well. But when you spray it on, it is the best stuff to use on porous surfaces like that. Within minutes, it will kill the mold. And then once it dries, use a stiff brush to try and clean it up and then spray it again because it has residual value to make sure that the mold doesn't come back.
And if you haven't disconnected your outdoor hose, you should still do that, right?
You are a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah,
you should definitely go out there and do it. And if you have a water valve inside the home that feeds the outdoor spigot, please turn that off because it sounds like this weekend it's going to be really cold.
Well, you'll love it because that text came in with the headline, Lou, my son has not disconnected his outdoor hose. All right, Lou. We'll be listening Saturday morning.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.